So, Brian, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
You need to start using HDPhotoHub.com. All you do is upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
That sounds pretty good. So how do I get started?
Well, it's pretty easy, Rich. All you do is register at HDPhotoHub.com. If you use the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
I did say free.
Okay.
HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York.
And we want to welcome you to this week's episode of Two Guys Talking About Real Estate Photography. That's what we should call it. Maybe change it.
Hey, why not?
It's not as catchy as Shooting Spaces, but you never know. So what's going on, Brian? What's up in your neck of the woods?
The tides have turned. It's busy now. Nonstop. Booked up for the next 2 weeks straight. And it's good and bad because I have clients calling me and I have to tell them I'm booked 2 weeks out, but knock on wood, I'm busy, keeping busy. I was on a construction site all day today and I came home all full of construction dust and debris and my gear. I had to wipe down all my gear. It was fun stuff.
Oh, well, you should come shoot a Spartan with me if you want to wipe down some gear. But no, I've heard from a lot of people. It's getting busy out there and it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's hard when in December and January, you start getting kind of wondering, you're questioning your career and things that how they're going. And, you know, I like looking back in my calendar from the year before and I always seem to make me feel better because I see that, oh yeah, I was not busy last year and the year before this time of the year. So.
Yeah. I think even if you look back and you realize how slow it does get, but if you're doing a little bit better than the year before, then that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, so that's good. What about you?
Spring is kind of coming, but we're getting rain next week. We have just
you've been posting some twilights. So you're back. The twilights are coming back.
Shh, don't tell anybody. Those are from last year. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I've been posting. You know what? I think it's okay to post. You don't have to post things from the day you shoot it. You can post things from a couple of years ago.
I mean, sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? I'm not deceiving anybody. But I've only got so many photos and I've got a lot of social media, so I've got to come up with something, you know?
I hear you. Especially when you're posting five times a day.
No, I'm down to two and possibly one. I've really rethought
you've leveled
it.
Leveled out.
Yeah, I'm just working on the best time of the day to, which is really weird. You look up Google search, what's the best time of day to, and damn day of week to post on Instagram, and you get like 27,000 different things. But one thing was like 11 at night and 3 in the morning. And I'm like, why would you do that? They're like, well, because not as many people are looking at it. But oh, that really makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I post typically between 9, I post once a day between 9 and 10 o'clock at night, time.
Really?
And I found that I've tried different things and I found that to be a great time because it's, you know, on the East Coast where I am, it's kind of before bed, people are winding down. You still have a couple hours left towards the West Coast and, you know, over, I guess, in Europe and the other side of the world, people are starting to get up. So
good.
That's what I found. Who knows?
Okay.
Anyway, what's on the agenda today, Rich?
Ooh, we have an interview from one of the top of the business, and I'm really excited about it. This is a gentleman who's been very active in the forums and Facebook, and he's very active in PFRE, Professional Real Estate Photography website, and he's been around. And I've recently been made aware of him, but I've really been catching his work has been really great, has a great look, and he's also he instructs and he does tutorials and videos and things like that. So I want to welcome Gary Gomez. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Brian. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy
awesome.
To be here.
Yeah.
Sure. And before we begin, why don't you give everybody some ways to follow you or look at your stuff while we talk in case they want to check it out. So your website or any social handles they want to check out.
Yeah, so my website is garygomez.com, and my name is spelled kind of weird. It's G-A-R-E-Y-G-O-M-E-Z, garygomez.com, and My tutorial is available at masteringrealestatephotography.com. And on Instagram, I'm pretty easy to find. It's just Gary Gomez Photo. That's where you can find me.
Why would your parents do, why do parents do that to you?
I don't know, man.
I don't get it.
Fourth grade, I actually took the E out of my name for a couple of years, much to the chagrin of my mom. And, you know, I put it back in there. I felt bad.
Well, Gary told me before the conversation that he actually spells it right and everybody else in the world spells it wrong. So,
well, I know what it's like having a name with a name like Rich Baum or Rich Baum. I don't know if anybody knows my middle name. My real middle name is Adam. So my real name is Richard Adam Baum or Baum. So
it's all a matter of how you pronounce it. That's
it
correct.
Is. It is. But anyway, so what's going on, Gary? What are you up to these days? And tell us where you're from. And let's talk a little bit about, I was thinking we could talk about technique. And what you think newer photographers should be putting their emphasis on and things like that. So let's talk to us.
Yeah, well, I'm born and raised in New Jersey, but I've been living in Atlanta for about 11 years now, and I call this home and I love it here. And these days I am just kind of busy doing photo shoots. I work with architects and interior designers, and I do plenty of real estate shoots. It's not... I don't do like four or five shoots a day, but I get in a handful of shoots every week. I had three back to back today, and I'm just keeping busy. And I have another business that also keeps me a little bit busy. And I'm a dad to two young kids. They're 3 and 5 years old. So I got my hands full, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
That's great. So your life sounds exactly like my life.
Yeah, you can relate then.
Yeah, exactly.
And part of me misses it, but part of me says, no, I don't miss it at all. So that's good.
Hey, your kids are out of the house now, Rich. Right?
Not quite. No, but actually both of them are here right now. But that's going to change in a day. So Gary, you are doing, let's stay on, begin with the real estate end of this. And are you shooting for like dozens of agents? And how do you finagle getting business and shooting for agents? And how do you tell us something about what people should think about in real estate photography?
Okay, well, I don't have dozens of agents that I shoot for now. I used to be a good bit busier with it, but I sort of made a strategic decision for my business to start working a little bit more with architects and interior designers. And so I'm a little more focused on that these days, but I have, I would say, about a dozen clients right now that keep me busy enough for real estate listings. So I do a handful of listings per week. And, you know, that keeps me busy enough for that. And I'm happy to do it. It's a really fun pace for me. And I get to still do my own editing because I enjoy it. So I've never been sort of in that that high volume situation where it becomes beneficial or, you know, it becomes beneficial to start looking at outsourcing or anything like that.
Necessary,
myself. So I get to have fun with it. And the neat thing that I decided to do a couple of years ago for the real estate side of things is I just started focusing on my technique and trying to bring a little bit more of like an architecture or interior design flavor to my real estate listing photography. And so that kind of changed who my clients were a little bit. I had a few clients that were happy to let me sort of cut my teeth on the technique with their listings, and they were really liking what I was doing. And I kind of, I don't want to say perfected it because I'm always working on it and it'll never be perfect, but I got good enough at it where I decided to sort of focus on that. And that's been working out pretty well for me. These days when I shoot listings, they're not all glamorous, but I definitely have a little bit more higher end listings that come to me more frequently than they used to. And I think that's a product of my approach and the style that I'm delivering to my clients.
Sure, that's a great approach. And I kind of took a little bit of a similar mindset, you know, about a year ago when I, you know, decided in a way to not as far as technique, but I guess for composition wise, I started composing a little more on my real estate shoots, a little bit more of a I guess, an architectural or interior design mindset. And like you said, my clients definitely take notice. I don't shoot everything, 24 or 17 from a corner as wide as possible. I started doing a lot of one-point perspectives, shooting, a lot of different, vertical shots and stuff like that, just to change it up a little. And like you said, clients take notice and, it looks completely different. It looks like a higher end product, even though shooting wise, if you're shooting flamboyant or natural light or just fully flashing, the techniques are very similar. But, just change up the composition like that makes a big difference. And, the clients definitely take notice. And like you said, it'll bring a different level of agent into your world.
Yeah. And it's fun to interact with folks who are excited about what you're delivering. And one neat thing that I worked with a coach a couple of years ago, Tony Colangelo. I think you guys maybe know who he is.
Sure.
I worked with him one-on-one, and he kind of opened my eyes to a few things that I always kind of subconsciously knew, but I didn't put a concentrated effort on it. Things like branding. It's really huge, not just for myself, but the benefit that I can have for my client's brand and understanding what that is. So the work I did with him really helped me get a firm grasp on what my clients are looking for. And it's actually helped me a lot with approaching architects and interior designers as well. But yeah, the branding aspect of it is so interesting when you really think about what you're doing. It's easy to think of the most practical use for your photos, which is to market a listing. But it does more than that. It represents your client, and a savvy agent, which is who I'm working with more and more these days, they really benefit from that. They understand that the quality of the photos and the style of photos represent their brand in a way. And it's not just about selling the house, but they go and sit down with their next potential client who's thinking about listing their home for sale with this agent. And they put down this portfolio of beautiful images. And they say, my photos don't look like the other agent's photos do. And this is one of the things that you get when you work with me. And it works great for them. It's amazing yeah. what high quality can do. And a big part of that, Brian, is composition, to your point. That's one of the things I focus on the most. And of course, lighting needs to be on point, but composition is pretty much everything for me.
Yeah, it's very, very good words, really important. And going back to you just said about branding, and I find that I try to educate, or I try to latch on to clients that value the importance of, and one other word I wanted to add to that is it's the consistency of the images. You want to have everything out there, no matter if it's a $150,000 house or a $1.5 million house, you want the same photography. And I got a compliment last year where I go back, a lot of times when I go back to shoot twilight shots, I've already shot the house and the agent doesn't show up for the twilight, but the homeowners know me already. And I walk in and I set up the light, turn on the lights, I open the shades, I do everything I need to do. And I had a client go, or a homeowner go, Rich, you're the best photographer. We just love your work. And I'm like, well, you haven't seen it yet. And they go, no, we've seen everything you've done, because we went over every single listing for the last 2 years of this agent. And that's just part of it. It's you never know what it's going to lead to. And I think agents, really, we all want to be surrounded by agents that value us. And I think if you keep at it and keep doing great work and overproducing and giving more than you need to give, and the best work you can give all the time for all listings, I think it's going to pay you back in the long run,
Yeah, I agree completely. It's all about what you put out there, and consistency is super important. Yeah, that's a really good point, and something that should be really valued. It just means people can count on you to do mm-hmm. really good work all the time, and that's part of being a pro, right?
Well, it's one less thing also. I like to think of it as realtors are team captains, and they have to surround themselves with, okay, I'll put myself in there with a photographer, with a stager, with a even somebody that does landscaping or does inspections or does whatever they do. It's just, I've had several agents over the years just go, you're mine, and it's one less thing I don't have to worry about. And I'm like, absolutely. You just don't have to worry about your photography. So why not do that? So, yeah.
So Gary, I'm looking through your portfolio as we talk here, and why don't you tell us a little bit? I mean, most of your stuff has a very natural, light look to it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your style, maybe your technique, and how you? I don't know if your portfolio, if this is the type of work you deliver to your real estate clients, or it looks just the same, whether it's real estate or architectural. But I'm looking at your website, and everything has this very nice, soft feel, which I love. And I'm trying to emulate a lot of this style in my work. So talk to us a little bit about how you come to achieve this look that you do.
Yeah, well, I'm big on natural light. Excuse me. I'm big on natural light. I think it is almost always the better looking light. And there is a true art to making flash look real. And this sort of the flambient technique that everybody's using, the flash and ambient blend, that sort of bridges the gap, and it makes it a lot easier to get a more natural look and still taking advantage of all the benefits that using a flash can offer into your workflow and the time savings and dealing with the dynamic range. But I really lean heavily on the ambient light. And so in my workflow, I like turning off all the lights on the interior, which I know is a little bit of a controversial topic. And there are valid points of view on both sides of the equation. But for me and what I like photos to look like, I go for the lights turned off. And that does tend to be a little bit more of what you see when you look through interior design magazines and architecture magazines, especially on the residential side of things. Not so much in commercial, but yeah, I really like that look a lot. And so with the lighting, I do a flash and ambient blend, and it is a different workflow entirely when I work with for architecture versus real estate, because I have all the time in the world for architecture. I'll do a full day shoot and we'll do 10 or 12 photos at the maximum. So I'm averaging about an hour per photo to shoot, and then an hour to an hour and a half on the long end for editing for each of those shots. So a lot of what you see on my portfolio is like that. But the workflow I use for real estate is a little bit different. It goes a little bit quicker. And I find that if I really focus hard on the composition and where the light's coming from, I think that makes a big difference in the final photo. And it sort of creates a more captivating image in my mind. So I kind of approach the compositions the same way I do with an architecture shoot. I'm shooting longer focal length and I'm shooting wide when it's appropriate, but I try to avoid it. And the lighting, I try to keep it coming toward the window or across the side and almost never from behind the camera to the extent that I can avoid it. You can't flag windows, for example, when you're doing a real estate shoot. You just don't have the time for that. But if there's a curtain or blinds on the window that's behind you, I'm closing them every time. And that forces the light to come from different direction rather than from behind the camera. So things like that I do, and I get all my photos for real estate in two shots, just a single ambient and a single flash frame handheld above the camera, super crudely lit with the flash. But the way I'm using it in my editing workflow, I don't need the light to be pretty from the flash. I just need it to help me with the windows, basically.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't out there in podcast land, if you haven't checked out Gary's work, I recommend you do, because is your main website, I'm sorry, I'm on garygomez.com. Is that also yes. Your real estate website?
That's my main website. Uh-huh. That's where people find me if they're interested in having me mm-hmm. Do photography for them. And then for the tutorial that I created, I released earlier this year, that's a whole separate website. It's masteringrealestatephotography.com. And it links back and forth between the two sites. You can get to the tutorial from my website, and you can get to my website from the tutorial, either way.
But I really like the work I'm seeing. It's just, and it's very true. The very, what would I say, just very natural light. And I'm sure you put a lot of effort into making it look like you had no effort and no lights, but really, really nice stuff. And definitely heavy on the commercial and the architectural end of the spectrum. But I think that your clients are probably calling you because they want magazine looking or magazine worthy shots. I mean, that's a lot of my clients now. They want to go for, they don't want the ultra wide. They want it to look like that. And what do you think about people that are getting into this game and call it a game, but what do you do? What do you say, Gary, to someone that's just kind of new to this and they're just finding that, oh my gosh, I can't spend this much time doing it. And I can't because I should be working at McDonald's and making the same amount of money because it took me 6 hours to shoot and 6 hours to edit. What do you say to people that are just learning and getting into it to, get better and faster and be able to command more money? What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, that I struggled with that too when I started out. Part of it was not knowing exactly what I was doing and learning a little more every time I do a shoot. Some of it was watching YouTube videos and getting some pointers like your videos, Rich. They were helpful to me once upon a time, and I learned a few things from you. And, it's just about learning and working on your craft. And for me in particular, I would say that I became obsessed, and I don't know where that drive came from, but I wanted nothing more from a professional aspect in my life than to get better at taking photos of architecture. And when I started this, it was all kind of by chance. I just had a friend who was a real estate agent who knew I was a photographer just as a hobby and a little bit of professional stuff, but not making a living off of it, but hired, paid work every now and then. And I helped him on a whim, and I kind of digested as much information as I could. And I went and shot a few listings for him with HDR. And I found myself just so disappointed in the way those photos looked. And I spent forever editing them. And then I learned how to use Flash, and that changed everything for me. And I got pretty decent at lighting a whole room and getting it in camera the way Scott Hargis teaches. And then I just kind of adapted it from there to something that's much quicker. And so anyway, all to say, to get back to your question, is it was a bit of an evolution, and it was really slow going at first. And I just put the time into it to learn my craft and pick up a workflow that really works well for me and is fast. And that took time to get there. And, I don't want to keep mentioning the tutorial, but I do cover all of that in my tutorial. I sort of give the whole technique in detail, step by step. And it's been working really well for me. I've been doing that for the last year and a half, the way I teach it in this tutorial. And it's been a tremendous improvement in my efficiency. And I think the quality's there also. Mm-hmm. So it's so consistent with what I was delivering before. It just takes me half the time. So I can still shoot and edit and deliver same day, if not first thing next morning. And that is what I'm doing consistently.
Yeah.
Nice. I want to change topics a little and ask you, because I know you mentioned it briefly a couple of minutes ago, but I want to talk or ask you about window pulls, because you mentioned it, they use a flash for your windows and stuff. But I'm looking at your work, and I take a similar mindset as you as far as windows, and I always like to have my windows a little brighter. And I know a lot of people like to have their outdoors the same exposure as the indoors, and to me that kind of always looks a little fake.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time where window pulls are just pulled in so much where you're just like, and it almost gives you like an HDR look because it's so strong. But all your windows are overexposed a little, which is kind of what I like to do. And obviously that was a very stylistic choice. So what's your thought process there?
Yeah, that is a decision you have to make. And I know that different folks are going to have different feelings about this. And that's the beauty about this. You can do whatever you want. They're your photos. It's your art. It's your craft. And you get to make it look however you want to. So what speaks to me personally is keeping things natural. That kind of is my North Star. The more natural it can look, the better. And the reality is it's brighter outside than it is inside. Outside, you put on sunglasses, and when you walk indoors, you take them off. Or at least I hope you do. Most people do. And I like the photos to convey that same message. And there's a lot of benefit to doing that. It makes the dynamic range a little less challenging to deal with. And we all know you've been there and you've got your flash at full power and you can't increase your shutter speed anymore because you're already at your sync speed if you don't have high speed sync, and you're kind of stuck in a jam. So if you're fixated on keeping your windows darker than how I tend to keep mine, you might have a challenge there. So this alleviates some of that on those occasions. And you run into that regularly enough that it does help. But really, it's all about keeping it natural. And the idea that it's brighter outside than it is inside dictates that the window should be a little bit brighter. The other thing I'll add to that is I live in Atlanta. I live in a city, and houses here are 20 feet apart. And a lot of times I'm shooting this gorgeous house, might be new construction in a neighborhood that's kind of transitioning, and the house next door might be not looking so hot. It might have, you know, bars on the windows, or, you know, an old rusty car in the driveway or something like that. So I'm up against that challenge as well. And overexposing the windows, you know, reduces the contrast outside, and it makes those sort of eyesores a little less visible in the photo. So that's an added benefit too. So sometimes it's a little bit of a necessity in those situations. Today I shot a high rise with in Buckhead, which is a neighborhood in the north side of the city of Atlanta. And it's all high rises there. And outside the window, I'm on the 50th floor, and there's another high rise out there with like 7 or 8 different balconies looking right into the window that I'm looking through. And, you know, if you want privacy in your bedroom or your bathroom, you don't have it in this condo that I shot today. So it's something I had to talk about with the agent, and we agreed to just overexpose the windows and minimize the impact that might have on someone who sees listing photos and decides whether or not they want to come see the property.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But I'm starting first and foremost with, I like it to look natural, and it's got to be brighter outside to accomplish that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that it's like anything, like single point compositions, like anything you're doing. It's just because you can doesn't mean you should. And it's really all dependent upon, you've got to look at the big picture. You know, is the view something we want to emphasize? And sometimes, I mean, like you look at people that are shooting in Palm Desert, Chris Miller, I mean, I think you do want to have the most beautifully clear view you can get, but then at other times it's not. So, you know, it's fun to get down the technique of window pulls and darken mode and whatever, and it's very effective technique, but I think it's just, you got to take it with a grain of salt, you know, pick your battles.
You know, these are all tools that we have in our pocket.
Exactly.
We're carrying around a camera bag, but it's a tool bag, and half the tool bag is in our brain. You got to know what you're doing with the stuff that you have in your bag. And, I don't spend a lot of time talking about gear. I do love it. I think about it a lot, but I don't spend a lot of time talking about it because I just don't think it matters that much.
Well, let me, since you're on the subject, come on, Gary, what are you shooting these days? What do you got for your main stuff?
Well, last week, Rich, we had a little exchange on Facebook, you and I, about my little dilemma I had with a new geared head I was trying out. And just yesterday in the mail, I got my Arca Swiss D4, and I used it today for 3 shoots. And it is so good. I love it.
I got it.
You gave me the nudge. I don't know how much I needed it, but you know, you gave me permission to suck it up and buy it, I think. And I just went for it.
I look at it this way. I can't, you know, if you went in a car, you couldn't buy the best or one of the top cars in the world because we just couldn't do it. It's something that's never going to be in my life. But I can spend the extra money and buy the best, one of the best heads. And it really brings me a lot of enjoyment every day throughout the day. So I love it. Yeah. And Brian's there too. He's an Arca Swiss and digging it.
I'm an Arca Swiss guy also, and I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's important to enjoy your gear.
It is.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Brian.
Yeah, no, I was just saying when I compare it to, I'm not knocking Manfrotto. You know, it got me for the first 5, 6, 7 years of my career, but when you compare one to the other, I mean, it's such a beautiful piece of equipment. I don't even have the D4. I have the PO hybrid, but
yeah,
still it's great. I love it.
Yeah, it looks great.
So Gary, what cameras are you using? What tripod and what lights are you using every day? And lens too.
A lot like you, Rich, we're on the same path, although I haven't been shooting for quite as long as you. So I don't have decades under my belt married to Nikon, but mid 2018, I sold all my Nikon gear and I bought Sony bodies. So I have a A7 R2 that I bought used, and I use that for my architecture work. And then I have an A7 III that I just got a few months ago that I use for real estate. I bought a used A7 II, and that thing is, I didn't like it at all. It, It lacked a lot of features that the A7 R2 has, and the A7 III has all that and a lot more. And I just decided to buy one of those. And I use that sort of for my real estate and anything else I want to do. If I'm out with the family or whatever, I use that. And so when I made the switch to Sony from Nikon, I sold all my Nikon lenses, and I decided, in case I didn't like the Sony cameras as much as I thought I was going to like them, I'm going to buy Canon lenses so that at the very least I can bail out and get a Canon body if I didn't like the Sony. That didn't end up happening, but I have all Canon lenses to this day, and I'll be getting some native lenses probably over the next year or so, little by little. But so I have a Canon 16-35 f/4 adapted to the Sony with a Sigma MC11, and then I have a Canon 24-70 2.8 Mark II, and two Canon tilt shift lenses, the 24 and the 17.
Yeah.
And I have this little Samyang 35 millimeter. It's just this tiny lens. It's an f2.8 lens. So not ultra fast, but it's made of plastic and it's sharp and the autofocus is awesome and it makes the whole camera tiny. And so that's what I have on there, a 35 millimeter prime. Like if I go out with the family, it makes for a really small camera, and I leave my Micro Four Thirds camera at home that I used to take everywhere with me to family stuff. I love this camera. I love this Sony.
And what lights are you using?
For my architecture work, I have some Godox lights. I have an AD600 and then some of their smaller lights. I'm mostly, because I don't go heavy on the lighting, I mostly get away with just one good flash pop on the AD600 when I need it to manage some dynamic range. So I don't go super heavy on that, but for real estate, I just use speed lights. And right now I have Yongnuos. I bought them, 3 or 4 years ago because they were cheap and I needed, I was shooting in camera, lighting every, the way Scott Hargis teaches, lighting every room and getting the shot in camera. And I needed like six of these things and I needed them in a hurry. So I went with the Yongnuo and they've been really good to me. I haven't had any issues with them. I've dropped them. Not a single one has ever broken or died on me, and I use them every day for real estate. I wouldn't mind trying out that AD200, though. Seems like a good alternative. Maybe I'll get my hands on one of those one of these days.
Bigger lights to me were a huge game changer, and the only reason I really left Yongnuo was because Godox and Flashpoint offered some choices of different lights, but I really, really, really like the bigger stuff, and it's really changed the way I work. It's given me more freedom, and I don't have to worry so much. I can go into any situation and just knock it out because I don't have to worry about the power. So
yeah, you're never going to run out of juice.
Yeah.
And I carry three with me to the shoots now. I rarely use all three, but in those tricky situations where I run out of power, I'll just put two of them together, and it bails me out of that situation. Yeah. I've never encountered anything that I couldn't get out of using two lights instead of one. And so that's kind of what's kept me using the speed lights. I have them and they're not treating me badly, and I get my job done all the same. So one day, if they start failing on me, I'm probably not going to replace them with the same thing. I'll probably do a little upgrade.
Cool. I also, I'm looking at your stuff. I want to add, if anyone wants to take a look, most of your work is residential stuff, but the two commercial shots that you have on your site, or your two restaurant/bar shots, are amazing. They look great. I love them. So, I mean, are those also a very similar style, like a flash pop with mostly natural light doing the heavy lifting?
These were a little more lit. The one of the bar with the bartender, making a drink with the shaker, that one was all natural light. It just so happened to be, this is in a shopping mall, and there's a whole wall of windows to the left of this frame that you see, and it's the mall entrance there, so it's getting a ton of natural light. So I was able to use that, and I got by with it, and I think it looks nice for it. But the other shots in that same space, I ended up lighting quite a bit. I did use some ambient, but there was a lot of lighting going on there to make it happen. I was hired by an artisan who did the Venetian plaster finish on the walls in that restaurant, and he's hired me for a few other projects that he's worked on that are all really beautiful, and I got some more coming up with him too. So it was just a fun project, but I did not get hired by the restaurant for that one. They want you to photograph food, and I can't get into that. So it ends up being a no for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really looks great. And, you know, I want to say one thing, though, and I wanted your opinion on this. A lot of people are looking at others' work, especially the higher end work, and they're amping out. The newer photographers are getting all worried and amping out that, and they're spending too much time worrying about trying to get the quality of the image. Well, there's a lot of things going on. First is you're limited by your abilities, you're limited by your equipment, you're limited by so many things. But one thing, I find that when you shoot in really nice places like that restaurant, you probably had pretty good lighting to go in. And it's the same way with houses too. Houses that are really, really nice houses are generally have a lot of emphasis spent on, and they've did a lot of money for the lighting. And I think that really, really helps get you going. You know, you can add whatever you need to add or take away what you need to take away, but to have a really nice model, like a portrait model, a person, you're just going to be ahead of the game to begin with. So what do you say about when people see all this great work and they're trying to recreate it in some less than desirable real estate shoot? You know, what do you say about that?
Yeah, there are two sides to that. There's no question that a beautiful subject gives the potential for a nicer photo. I would say that I've probably done some of my most impressive work, at least in a real estate capacity, in listings that are not so great. If you can make, kind of a crappy house, maybe in a little bit of disrepair, look a lot better than it shows in person, and not even by embellishing anything, just by complimenting what's good about it, you can go a long way with that. So you mentioned lighting, and you know, good houses do tend to have built into the design a lot of really good lighting built into it. Lots of recessed lighting that really brighten up a room a lot, but I don't turn any of the lights on, so that doesn't matter to me. Every house has windows. Every room has a window for the most part. And just make the most of what's available to you in the natural light. And I really lean on that very heavily. And I found that that's been the great equalizer. There's a window everywhere. The light is coming from somewhere, and you don't need to add too much of it to make place look good. And so I just little by little got up to the point where I was shooting nicer places, because those are the clients I was starting to attract. And I increased my prices a little bit. And so I did get to start shooting nicer places, but I started out shooting junk. And recently, I did a...
Agents are glad to hear that.
My very first ever real estate shoot, I recently posted it on Instagram. I think I put 6 or 7 pictures from it on there. So if you go check that out, you'll see what I was dealing with. The photos were terrible, but the house was even worse. So yeah, you got to start somewhere and make the most of it and learn how to make everything look great. And that just comes with practice.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, Gary, I know we're running short on time here, so we want to first off thank you for coming on. This was a great little chat. Got a little insight onto what you do down there in Atlanta, and you know, your style, your technique, your equipment, and everything else. But I just want to make sure everyone goes and checks out your work, because your portfolio on your website is fantastic. I breezed quickly through your Instagram, but I haven't had a chance to really dive into it. I'm sure it is just as nice. So
if you go back enough, there's some not nice stuff.
I'm looking at the one you were talking about, the very first taste of interior photography you did. That's a pretty nice place there.
Yeah, the guy was found dead in that house.
Yeah, he was the last photographer that shot it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I've had a lot of fun. Yeah. This was a really fun chat. Thank you.
Okay, and tell us again, where can people check out your work and the tutorial and what's going on? Yeah.
My website, you can see all my work at garygomez.com, spelled GareyGomez.com. And also my real estate photography tutorial is available at masteringrealestatephotography.com.
Right on. Good URL. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And Brian, what do you always say for people to do?
People subscribe. We have, awesome stuff always coming out, articles, blog posts, podcasts. Every week we're releasing podcasts, as you all know. So subscribe to our newsletter so you get all that info right to your inbox, and you can just quickly click on a link and listen right up into what we have to say. And that's it. Ask the guys.
Ask the guys. Yeah, you get to record a 90-second question you have and put in your little plug for your website and your Instagram. And you can get your questions answered by us or by a professional in the business. And we'd love you to join us on that. And as Brian said so nicely, please do subscribe because it really helps us out. And just keep on shooting those spaces and getting better and learning more, and you'll get to meet great people like Gary Gomez and Brian Berkowitz. So I want to say thank you all, and we will hear you and talk to you on the next podcast.
This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at hdphotohub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES to get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.